Welcome to another thrill-packed edition of Unite, i.e. Radio, the radio show for the most important political office, that of the private citizen. My name is Greg Britton with the Redlands Tea Party Patriots and the Unite, i.e. Coalition of Conservative and Patriot Groups, where our mission is to unite freedom-loving, America-loving Americans and magnify our strength and effectiveness in making and keeping America great, free, and prosperous. And we see every day, every hour, the need for Americans, we the people, to step up and fulfill the obligations of that most important political office. And we can now offer you a way to help you do that is on our website, unite-ie.com. We have a list of all of our Unite IE affiliated groups and conservative groups and activists in the Inland Empire. And we have more than 40 of them. I was a little pleasantly surprised when I put together all this list. And you can find a group in your area and check out where they meet and what they're about. And we're more effective if we're working together than if we're trying to work separately. Very pleased to welcome back to the show Ken Timmerman. He is an investigative reporter specializing in national security, and I invited him back when you see in the news that what happened with the Iran's attack on Israel, that the O'Brandon regime is trying to save Hamas, and we got Muslim protesters in America chanting "Death to America." So I thought he would be a very good person to talk to about all this. He's an author. His latest book is Raising Olives in Provence, a guide for the body and soul about his life, time he spends in France. He has a second home there. And it's not just olives, it's about life in France. His autobiography, The Rest is History, Tales of Hostages, Arms Dealers, Dirty Tricks, and Spies, Election Heist, a novel about prescient about what actually happened in the 2020 election, and many others. Upcoming book is The Iran House, about his efforts to bring down the Iranian regime. And we'll talk about maybe those things will be coming up. But first we're going to go into, and I just, you know, sometimes you see a story and it's just an exemplar of the times. And that is in California, the Republicans introduced a bill, SB 1414. And under this bill, it would make buying or selling of a child, anyone under 18, to be a felony. Okay, I don't know why it wouldn't be a felony already. But right now, it's a misdemeanor. And, okay, you would think, okay, obviously this is something that Republicans and Democrats should be able to agree on. I mean, if anything, yes, you can't buy and sell children for sex. But no. The Democrats watered it down in committee. So now, under the revised bill, is the child must be, in order to be prosecuted as a felony, the child must be under 16. The person involved must have a prior conviction for buying or selling a child under 16 for sex. And it's still a wobbler. In other words, the Soros prosecutor can choose to charge it as a misdemeanor rather than a felony. And I know Ken, I mean, Ken started his life as a left-wing atheist, and he's now a conservative Christian. This is not politics. This is not, there is something dark and evil going on here. If you want to make it lenient treatment for people that are buying and selling children for sex. What say you, Ken?
I'm just shaking my head, Greg. I'm sitting here shaking my head. This is one of the many unbelievable things that are happening in our society. But I guess we should be prepared for fighting the evil one and for fighting the principalities of the air, the principalities of evil, of darkness in this country. They are certainly everywhere to be seen. And don't think that you're safe living in a conservative community, because you're not. I live in a conservative community in Florida, in northeastern Florida, and you know, horrible things are happening here. People are able on the left to say and unbelievable things about their political adversaries that have, again, nothing to do with politics, zero to do with politics, zero to do with positions that you disagree upon. We are in spiritual warfare. This is a war between good and evil, and it's not a war between persons. It is a war between evil that is an inhabited individuals and good, which is always hard to find its allies.
Mm-hmm. And reading about this bill made me think back to a recent interview that Tucker Carlson did with Naomi Wolf. Mm. And Naomi Wolf was that she's a doctor, but she was a media fixture on the liberal left. And she was often on liberal media, both in broadcast as well as in writing. And during the COVID vax time, she wrote that we're seeing reports of women reporting menstrual dysregulation after receiving the vax. And Wolf says, well, this should be investigated. And she was excommunicated from the liberal and from the left, taken off all of her media. Her social media accounts were canceled just for saying, hey, we should investigate these reports. And she's kind of come over to our side. So she was on this interview, and it was a 4-minute segment just talking about this. The whole interview was an hour, but I would commend it to everyone. Is she talked about, she was trying to understand the evil in the world, and she had read this book by Jonathan Cahn called Return of the Gods, which the premise of the book is that as we have released our hold on our covenant with God, it has opened the way, opened the door, opened, left the room empty for these evil spiritual forces to reoccupy. And she thinks that this kind of made sense, is that we see that she talked about how we see these institutions, schools, hospitals, the medical establishment that were supposedly devoted to good, overnight turned into their mirror image, grooming children, harming children. And she also attributed it to it was the higher spiritual forces, it's not just politics.
Well, I think that's right. I think that's right. There's no other explanation for this, Greg. There's no other way of explaining it. Throughout history, you have had struggles between left and right, revolutionaries and conservatives, or reactionaries, if you wish. But this is really an effort. What's happening in the United States today to completely destroy American society, American history, American culture, American values, Judeo-Christian values. And I think that goes beyond the kind of political differences that we have seen in the past.
Yes. And the other trend that exemplifies this is the transgendering of children.
Yes.
That we're going to convince children, we're going to confuse them, we're going to confuse children about their gender. Now, as they're pushing this as young as 5 years old or younger if they're in pre-K, and the idea is to get the children to agree to be chemically and surgically castrated, mutilated, and sterilized.
But, Greg, let me give you just a contrast to this. So I spent a lot of time in France, right? And I just got back from France. My latest book, Raising Olives in Provence, is about France and about French people. It's also about God, love, marriage, and friendship, and a little bit about Islam as well. But so France is a socialist society. It's a socialist government, and they've been socialist for 40 years. When I tell people what is going on in America with this transgendering of children and the sexualization of primary schools, people just shake their head. They say, what? What are you thinking? How can you do it? Socialists shake their heads and say that. How can you do such a thing? So this goes way beyond left and right. This is not just a manifestation of the left. This is a manifestation of an evil movement that wants to destroy America.
Yes. As Psalm 33:12, blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord. And the opposite is true. And I increasingly believe this is not just left-wing politics, cultural Marxism, but there are evil spiritual forces at work. And we need to return to God. And I think that making and keeping America great again is inexorably intertwined with making and keeping America godly.
Amen to that.
Yes. Now, there is something we can do in this area before our break, and that is the Protect Kids Initiative here in California that will do three things. One, if they've confused your child and child now thinks he or she is the opposite gender, have to tell the parents, no secrets from the parents, that the girls, XX, chromosome girls and women only in women and girls sports and in their locker rooms and restrooms. common sense for millennia, and that there's no chemical or surgical castration, mutilization, or sterilization of children, anyone under 18. And these all poll very well. And you can, if you have not already done so, you go to the website, protectkidsca.com. You can download the initiative, simple instructions, fill it out, and mail it back in. And if you can get a few more signatures from your neighbors, friends, coworkers, family, all the better. And this is a way that, again, we, the private citizens, can make a difference. So if you haven't done that, do so today, please, because time is running out to get those signatures for that initiative. Now, I had vowed that this discussion was going to only last first segment, and we're going to keep to that. So let's pause here for a word from our sponsor. When we come back from hearing from Ed Hoffman of United American Mortgage, we will turn to the intended subject of today's show, which is what's happening in the Middle East and ancillarily in America and Europe is because of that. Back after this.
Hi, this is Ed Hoffman with United American Mortgage and host of The Main Event right here on AM 590 The Answer. Mortgage rates are up, but credit card rates are way higher, and credit card balances have hit an all-time high as inflation puts the squeeze on everyone's budget, not to mention how auto loan rates and payments have gone through the roof. Let me point out, it doesn't matter how low your existing mortgage interest rate is if you can't make the payments on everything else. Are you wondering what to do? Do you need some financial strategy? Want to talk to someone who thinks like you? Call me at 855-640-2020. We'll discuss a strategy that works for you today and also considers what happens when the interest rates drop as we move into the inevitable recession. To have that discussion, call me toll-free at 855-640-2020. That's 855-640-2020, or go to edhoffman.net and click on the United American Mortgage logo.
Ed Hoffman, NMLS ID number 9921. United American Mortgage Corporation, NMLS ID number 1942. United American Mortgage Corporation is an equal housing lender and licensed by the California Department of Real Estate.
AM 590, The Answer.
Welcome back to Unite IE Radio, the radio show for the most important political office, that of the private citizen. Very pleased to have on the show this week Ken Timmerman. He's an investigative reporter specializing in the Middle East and foreign policy more broadly, has written a number of books, including Raising Olives, about life in France, and his autobiography, The Rest is History, Tales of Hostages, Arms Dealers, Dirty Tricks, and Spies, and many other great books. So the reason I originally reached out to you to be on the show was we were watching what's happening in the Middle East, and we see the recent exchange of missiles and air attacks between Iran and Israel. We see the ongoing war in Gaza, the efforts to by the O'Brien regime to save Hamas from total destruction, and the ancillary support for Hamas in Europe and in America. And there was even someone got ahead of himself a little bit, and there was a rally of Muslims in Michigan where they were chanting death to America. Too early for that, although that's a widely shared belief on the left, non-Muslim left. So with all that, I'll throw it over to you, Ken. How would you assess the current situation in the Middle East and the war between Israel and Hamas and between Israel and Iran?
Well, first, Greg, the obvious. Iran is now at war with the state of Israel. The attack on April 14th, which I did not think was going to happen, is a clear attack. I mean, how can you launch 330 aerial vectors, aerial attacks on another country and not call it war? That is an act of war. It is the opening salvo of a war, and we do not know how it will end. And anybody who tells you they know how it will end doesn't know. I did not think that the Iranians would do it. The reasons are a few. If they had launched an attack, this was the way I was thinking before April 14th, from their own territory against Israel, it basically gave Israel a green light to strike back, something Bibi Netanyahu, the prime minister, has been wanting to do for over a decade. He's been wanting to attack Iranian nuclear sites. So this would give them a green light. The Iranians didn't want Israel to strike back at them directly because they knew very well they would not down a single Israeli aircraft or a U.S. aircraft if we had joined the counterstrike. And that would show them to be weak in the eyes of the Iranian people. Weak in the eyes of the Iranian people invites uprising, insurrection, and eventually the overthrow of the regime, something I would, of course, welcome. So I didn't think they would do it. So what changed their minds? Well, we learned on Sunday and Monday from reporting from Reuters and then other news agencies that there were back channel discussions between the Biden White House and the Iranian regime, and that Biden was going through Turkey, where the foreign minister, a guy named Hakan Fidan, is a former intelligence minister and very, very close to the Iranian regime. I mean, they work almost like lips and teeth, as we used to say of China and North Korea. So they were talking to Iran through the Turkish foreign minister. And later, the White House actually acknowledged, and yes, we were sending messages to Iran, exchanging messages through Switzerland, who's the consular power for the United States in Tehran, where we, of course, don't have an embassy, haven't had one since 1979 when the regime stormed the embassy and took our diplomats hostage. So what was the White House saying? Well, according to these reports, the White House told the Iranians, it's okay to attack Israel, but within certain limits. Just stay within certain limits. And what are those limits? Well, don't target, for example, civilian infrastructure. Just go after military targets. Then it's okay. Everybody will understand you're just going after military targets. Well, I listened later on Sunday to a guy named Norman Rule on CNN. Norman Rule is a former CIA officer. He was the national intelligence officer for Iran for a number of years before Biden took office. A very, very knowledgeable guy. And he was asked, well, have the Iranians generally, do they attack only, keep their attacks only to military? He said, the only thing the Iranians attack are civilian objectives. Look at Hamas. They're firing missiles at Iranian direction into Israel against civilian targets. Hezbollah is doing the same thing. All the Iranians do is to attack civilian objectives. And I got off the phone recently with a friend in Israel who's a grandfather. And he said, excuse me, there were 10 million people here, including 12 of my grandchildren, who were terrorized all night with the sirens going off, the explosions in the sky, thinking they were about to get hit by an Iranian missile. And you say that is not terrorizing the civilian population? That is not an attack on the civilian population? Of course it is. So the Iranians were emboldened. They felt that they were given a green light by Biden and by the White House. They acted in accordance with that green light. And then they do what the cowards always do. They scurried little crabs along the sand to the United Nations Security Council, where they said, we have been struck in our diplomatic immunity facilities in Damascus, and now we have struck back, and that's it. It's all over. Finished. No more. Let's just end this, okay? Please end it now. They are desperate. They are desperate to make sure the Israelis do not hit them back. I think the Israelis will hit them back. I think the White House is doing its very best to keep them from doing so. They're trying to use as pressure on Israel, the fact that the United States helped with the defense of Israel on the night of October 14th. Apparently, the U.S. Central Command coordinated the strikes against the 170 Iranian drones that were launched against Israel. Not a single one reached Israeli airspace. They were intercepted by U.S. planes, British planes, Jordanian planes, even French planes intercepted them, as well as those slow-flying cruise missiles. And I think the White House is trying to say to Israel, hey, you know, we don't have to do that again. We help defend you, and there's a price for that defense. We don't want you to, quote, escalate, because they're going to call this an escalation. We don't want you to escalate the conflict and strike at Iran. I think, I'm pretty convinced from what I hear, from Prime Minister Netanyahu and from his cabinet, I think they are going to strike Iran. But they're going to do it at the time and the place of their choosing. They might not do it until after Passover. Huh? Why not? What's the rush? They have no rush. But when they do it, I believe that the Israelis will be judicious enough to select targets inside Iran that will be so clearly identified with the power centers of the regime that it will encourage and embolden the Iranian people to strike the regime. The Iranian people hate the Revolutionary Guards, okay? And the Revolutionary Guards is the force that's engaged in Lebanon, in the West Bank, now supplying arms, also in Gaza. They are the ones who launch the missiles and the drones. But do you know what else they do, Greg? The Revolutionary Guards are the brown shirts that stomp on protesters, that arrest protesters, that beat them to death in prisons. They are the repressive forces against the Iranian people. So if Israel takes out command and control centers of the Revolutionary Guards, or bases of the Revolutionary Guards, missile bases, jails, or you know whatever, I think it would be welcomed across Iran in ways that everyone will find astonishing, and some of us will find heartening.
Yes, it would be. Iran is a uniquely dangerous and evil regime in the world, in part because they really believe in their religion, which is to make the entire world Muslim. And kill the people that resist that. And they've been dedicated to doing that for many decades. It's still interesting, and we'll see what Israel does. It's not an all-out war. There was when the Hamas Israel war started, there were fears that this was going to spiral quickly into a regional war, and it hasn't. You've referred to this kind of as the dance of deterrence. Mm-hmm. And yes, Israel, someone does something, then the other side does something, the other side does something, but no one has, other than between Israel and Hamas, even that's not all out. No one has gone all out. Iran could have launched thousands of missiles. They didn't. They could have used certainly chemical weapons. They didn't. They might have even used nuclear weapons if they've assembled any of them. They didn't. They haven't closed the Straits of Hormuz. Yeah. So we're still kind of in this dance of deterrence phase.
We are in the dance of deterrence phase. You're absolutely right. And that's why I think the Israeli counterstrike will be measured. My guess is, but again, when you make these kind of guesses, you're almost always wrong. But my guess would be that they would avoid striking nuclear facilities at this point and limit them to the Revolutionary Guards. That would be to me, that would make the most sense, because it would send the message to the Iranian people. We're not going against any sort of sovereign national infrastructure, which you might argue some of those nuclear facilities are. I don't think many Iranians actually would, but nevertheless, we're not going after sovereign national infrastructure. We are going after the repressive apparatus of the regime, which also happens to be that same military force that attacked us in Israel.
I will respectfully differ with you. I think if they do it, they've been wanting to go after the nuclear facilities for a long time, and now is their opportunity. And if you're going to do one, you may as well do the other. So you're going to get the same amount of blame and criticism, regardless of whether you do the nuclear as well. So if I was advising Prime Minister Netanyahu, I was, go for it. This is you're never going to have a better opportunity. And next time, those missiles might have nuclear weapons on them. And yeah, you can take out 99% of them, but if one of them gets through and hits one of your cities, that's a calamity you haven't experienced since the Holocaust of World War II. So take them out when you can.
Well, Greg, and I understand that argument. I have made that argument in the past, but here's why I don't think it's correct now, is that if Israel hits the forces of repression, the Revolutionary Guards, they could spark an uprising in Iran. If you have an uprising in Iran against the regime, it doesn't matter if they have nuclear weapons and nuclear missiles, because the new government will not use them. And so that's where you go. You get to non-proliferation through the promotion of democracy. This is something that I've talked about for over 20 years. I think it's tremendously important, and it's never been used as U.S. policy.
Well, we shall see which of either of us is right or wrong in the coming days, weeks, and months. That's all the time we have in this first half. Stay tuned for the exciting second half of Unite IE Radio. Back after this.
AM 590, The Answer.
Welcome back to Unite IE Radio, the radio show for the most important political office, that of the private citizen. My name is Greg Britton, Redlands Tea Party Patriots and Unite IE Coalition of Conservative and Patriot Groups, where our mission is to unite freedom-loving, America-loving Americans and magnify our strength and effectiveness in making and keeping America great, free, and prosperous. And if you want to step up and help fulfill your obligations in that most important political office, one great way to do it is through our Unite IE groups. And you can find a list of them on our website, unite-ie.com. And you can find a group that's in your area or one that's working in an area that you are most concerned about. And in addition to being more effective working with other fellow patriots, it's also more fun. Rather than being out there watching the news and how terrible things are going, is you're figuratively, politically fighting alongside other great Americans and making friends along the way. So we'd encourage you to check that out. Very pleased to have on the show this week Ken Timmerman. He's an investigative journalist specializing in national security, in particular the Middle East. He's written many books. The two most recent ones are Raising Olives in Provence, about life in France and other cultural issues. And the rest is history, his own autobiography, Tales of Hostages, Arms Dealers, Dirty Tricks, and Spies, including the time that he was held hostage by Islamic terrorists in Lebanon. We're talking about what's happening in the Middle East. I want to, and we had our own projections and opinions about what Israel should do next. We will see which of either of us is right or wrong on that. But I want the reflection of what's happening in America and in Europe as a result of the Israel-Hamas war. Is Hamas started it? They went in, murdered, raped, tortured, kidnapped Israeli civilians. And as Israel responded and Hamas is losing, they said, let's have a ceasefire. Mm. And what's amazing is how people mostly on the left, on both America and in Europe, have bought into that. Oh, okay. Hamas wants a ceasefire. Let's have a ceasefire and let Hamas survive. And what we see now is I think they're down to about one city left where Hamas is holding out, and the O'Brien administration is pressuring Israel not to attack that city and wipe out Hamas. The new American philosophy of war of never win a war. You can win some battles along the way, but never, ever, ever win a war. And fortunately, thus far, Israel has rejected that. But the residents of Hamas and support for Hamas on the left in Europe and America is both interesting and disturbing. What say you, Ken?
All of that is true. I would also point out that this is the first time that Israel has not allowed itself to be constrained by calls from the international community for a ceasefire. I can remember in the 2006 war, a story that I tell in my upcoming book, The Iran House, Condoleezza Rice arrived in Israel calling for a ceasefire, and after Hezbollah had launched rockets into Israel, killing 14 people, and this was before Israel had missile defense, and the Israelis ultimately accepted. And what did that do? That laid the groundwork for the next war. Again, in many of these punctual conflicts with Hamas, the United States would come in and call for a ceasefire. Israel would agree, and that would lay the groundwork for the next conflict. This time, Netanyahu and his cabinet, which includes people like Benny Gantz from the opposition, said, enough is enough. We're not going to do this again. This is a war of survival. This is not an ordinary war. This is a war of survival. We are going to fight this until we absolutely destroy Hamas. And the Israelis are discovering, perhaps to their surprise, that showing a little fortitude on the international scene actually works. Even the Europeans are having a hard time publicly condemning Israel for continuing to fight Hamas and for demanding that Hamas be destroyed as a military or governing entity. They pay lip service to it, They continue to talk about aid to UNRWA, the UN agency that has been working together with Hamas. They've been using UN schools to indoctrinate children into a genocidal ideology, a Jew-hating ideology. And people are beginning slowly to wake up to this and to understand that there's a bigger problem here than you know, Israel killing Palestinian civilians. And by the way, they're taking enormous precautions to kill as few Palestinian civilians as they possibly can. But when Hamas puts its military headquarters in a hospital, it's kind of difficult to go in and get the Hamas fighters and the Hamas commanders without killing people who have been used as human shields.
Yes, but particularly you look on the universities, younger people, the polling data in America shows there's a sharp difference in how they view Israel versus the Palestinians versus older Americans. And it's I think it's a longer run strategic problem for Israel is that part of it just buys into the DEI intersectional ideology of, well, okay, the Palestinians and they have darker skin than the Israelis, so they must be in the right. And that's only a slight exaggeration of what that ideology entails. And also, well, they're Muslim, so that means they're higher on the preference totem pole, so to speak, than Jewish, and Christians are below Jewish. So they have this hierarchy, and I think it's all part of it plays into this. And Israel, I think, yes, it's not going to change things right away, but it's already been enough that the prospect of losing Muslim, the O'Brien administration's policies more in favor of Hamas.
Well, that's absolutely right, and it is quite disturbing. I think what you're seeing here is the result of two generations of indoctrination at America's universities. The academia has been thoroughly taken over by the ideological left. There is no freedom of thought on most American campuses. There's certainly no diversity of opinion among college professors when 93% to 95% of them are, if not registered Democrats, or supporters of the Democrats and left-wing causes, and probably to the left of the Democrats in many cases. So they're teaching our children this. They're teaching our children that Israel is bad, Palestinians are good. These kids go out and protest. I love it when you get Jesse Waters or somebody else sending a person with a camera down the crowd. So you're chanting from the river to the sea. Well, what river are we talking about? They say, I don't know, the East River? the Atlantic Ocean? I don't know, you know. And so the kids don't have a clue what they're actually chanting about, what they're actually protesting for or protesting against. I would hope that they don't realize that the slogans they're using, from the river to the sea, for example, is a genocidal agenda, because it means all of Israel. What it means is the Palestinians want to fight until they have eradicated the state of Israel. And you don't eradicate the state of Israel without eradicating all the people who are in it, which means that you can genocide against your neighbor. Yeah. So I hope they don't recognize, I hope they don't understand that that's what they're promoting. But for those who do, they, frankly, should be treated accordingly, and I hope their future employers take notice of their actions. I hope the U.S. government, should that be their future employer, would take notice of their actions. Of course, that's not going to happen, but, you know, we can always hope.
Yes. If anything, they take notice of their actions. Oh, this? Yes. No. You're an ideal candidate to work here at the FBI or the CIA.
Right. Right. You hate Jews.
Do you hate America? Do you hate Israel? You're our kind of person. That's kind of true, even if there's not if they're not Muslims, These left-wing professors, generally the left and the left-wing of the Democrat Party, they hate America.
to hit America. And most of them are not Muslim. Great. Most of them are not Muslim.
Yes. One other aspect before we move on to other subjects is you wrote in a recent column that you had been invited to a Iranian opposition conference in Spain. Tell us about that.
Yeah, so I've been, you know, working with the Iranian opposition for 30 years now. In the mid-90s, I set up an organization called the Foundation for Democracy in Iran, iran.org. By the way, it's still there. We're not active really at this point any longer. But we engage in really the first internet human rights activism in Iran. People were sending us photographs in 1999 of the student uprising when vigilantes were throwing students off the roofs of the dormitories to die in Tehran. We were getting photos of that and publishing it on the internet. It was the first time that was ever really done using the internet as a human rights vector, if you wish. But this conference, so I've been working with the various opposition groups for years. Everybody knows who I am, and they consider me being an American as a kind of honest broker. So I've been to conferences like this before with different opposition groups where they need somebody not engaged in their own political arguments to sit there with them and kind of arbitrate a little bit. I was invited to this one. I said, okay, it's interesting, but boy, south of Spain, really? The Spanish haven't caught a terrorist since, except for their own Basques in 20 years. I've got a son who lives in Barcelona. They can't catch people who blow up the Rambla in Barcelona and set off suicide bombs right in the heart of, old town Barcelona. I was a little worried. And I said, well, who's financing this conference? And they couldn't get back to me with the name of the person financing it. And finally, I said, look, I think I'm going to take a pass. Doesn't sound good to me. I had lots of people who were willing to go there as my personal bodyguard. And I said, no, that's one bodyguard probably wouldn't be enough. You could just give me a heads up and I'm too old to run anyway. So I said no. And the guy who invited me, this is hilarious, actually, Craig. The guy who invited me was a very sweet person. I'm not going to say who he is, but he lives in California. And I think he was well-intentioned. He said, well, you know, actually, Ken, I am relieved that you did not go because I was a little worried for your security.
Yeah. Thanks for telling me now. Yeah.
But I was invited to an earlier one in 2021 during COVID, and that one was going to be in Zurich, Switzerland. And ultimately they canceled it because of COVID in January of 21. And 3 months later, there was an article in the Times of Israel where the Shin Bet had warned a number of Israeli scholars who had gotten the identical invitation email that I had gotten from the same person, the same address of the rest. They said this was an Iranian set up to kidnap Israeli scholars or pro-freedom scholars.
Yes. And there, you mentioned that there's been other attempts to over the years to kidnap you. I guess you feel reasonably safe there in Florida. They certainly haven't sent a hit team to get you. You're not high enough on their list to send a hit team to get you in Florida.
No, but they are looking for President Trump. They have been looking for John Bolton. They've been looking for other people who worked in the Trump administration in very prominent positions who were involved in the killing of Qasem Soleimani. After my new book comes out, that might change, but we'll leave that for a future day.
Yes. and certainly the Iranian secret services they do target Iranian exiles and dissidents.
So absolutely.
Just like the Soviet communists used to do is yes, you would, you think you're safe in the West, but you're not.
Well, just as Putin does too. I mean, Putin has done the same thing. The Iranian regime, according to a State Department count in 2020, has successfully targeted about 346 dissidents living overseas. I used to keep a tally of that at iran.org, but really stopped at the end of the 1990s when it hit 250. So I'm sure the number is actually much larger than that.
Past time for our break, so let's hear from our sponsors. One is Attorney Gregory W. Britton, doing business in real property law at 909-335-7335, and Kenny White of SecureServe. Let's hear from Kenny. Back after this.
When you go into the legal system, that journey begins with the first step, which could take many steps, but that first step is the service of process. SecureServe specializes in difficult services. SecureServe, spelled SecureServ. The website is SecureServe44.com. You can reach us at 909-735-2275. We are ready to serve you. 909-735-2275. SecureServe44.com. 909-735-2275.
AM 590. The answer.
Welcome back to Unite IE Radio, the radio show for the most important political office, that of the private citizen, Greg Britton, Redlands Tea Party Patriots, and Unite IE Coalition. Very pleased this week to have on the show Ken Timmerman. He's an investigative journalist specializing in foreign policy and more particularly in the Middle East. We're going to change something a little bit, still in foreign policy, but reflections back here to the swamp. And up this week, they're supposed to be voting on sending another $60 billion to the war in Ukraine, and you and I may have a difference on whether that's even a good idea. But what really interests me is this. And if it comes up, it'll pass, and off goes more of our money that we really can't afford anyways. But is the Speaker, Mike Johnson, came in about 5 months ago, and he is, he's been saying for months that we have to take care of our own border before we get to Ukraine's border. And he's apparently abandoned that and is going to bring up just here, send more money to Ukraine. We have a little clip here of Mike Johnson.
I'm telling all of you, and we've told the American people, border, border, border.
We have to effect real policy change at the border, and that is a necessary condition to anything we do going forward.
We have to take care of our border first. That's what the American people demands.
Every state in America is now a border state.
Border, border, border.
How can we be engaged in securing the border of foreign countries if we can't secure our own?
We know the urgency in Ukraine. We're going to stand for freedom and make sure that Vladimir Putin doesn't march through Europe.
It's past time to secure the border.
Listen, this is a catastrophe down here.
The battle is for the border.
President Biden wants a supplemental spending bill. It better begin by defending America's national security.
Okay, these are dangerous people who are coming into the country. Over 300 known terrorists.
How can we be engaged in securing the border of foreign countries if we can't secure our own?
Okay, so the same guy this week is expected to bring up, and if not this week, probably next week, bring up a bill that will send, with nothing to protect America's border, send another $60 billion to Ukraine, some money for Taiwan, some money for Israel. And in 5 months, the swamp has rolled Mike Johnson into their, Salem, I've got to be careful on Salem, is he's now their willing lackey doing the bidding of the administration and the Democrats.
Look, Greg, I much prefer the Mike Johnson over those clips you just played, who was the Mike Johnson that the American people supported as Speaker of the House of Representatives, somebody who would put the desires and the priorities of the American people first instead of putting other countries first. And I am frankly perplexed that he would bring these bills forward. I understand that he has been able to fracture them. So he split them apart. So maybe they can vote for aid for Israel and then maybe they will vote against aid for Ukraine. Okay. Maybe that's the compromise that he came up with. But the fact that he cannot, get a bill that would secure the border, is a tremendous failure. Now, let's also be realistic here. How big is Mike's majority, the Republican majority right now? Okay. How many votes can he lose on anything that he does? Answer: 3, right? He can lose 3 votes. That's it. So he does not have a lot of wiggle room to do anything. But a border bill, why can't he pass another border bill? I mean, they passed one in the beginning, but they had a large majority under Kevin McCarthy. Why cannot they pass a border bill, send it to the Senate, and then say, we're not voting on anything that you send us until you pass the border bill? But look, politics is the art of compromise. People don't like to hear that. They don't like to hear that. It's the art of the possible. It's not the art of your dreams and what you'd like to see happen. And it may be that Mike Johnson has some card up his sleeve. I mean, I'm trying to be optimistic here. Maybe he's got a card up his sleeve and saying, okay, we'll vote for Israel. We'll vote for Taiwan. We'll vote down Ukraine. And then we'll vote for the border. But I'm not so sure that that's true. I'm not so sure that's the case.
Except that it seems to me for the Democrats, it's not the art of it. It's not compromise. They, with the recent spending bills, with Pfizer reauthorization, with the looks like they're going to, because they're with the Democrats, there are enough Republicans that want to send money to Ukraine that's going to pass. Israel might not pass. Because I don't know how many Democrats are going to vote for that, but the Ukraine money will go sailing through. So Mike Johnson, as a speaker, controls access to the floor. So maybe he can't pass a bill that would tie border security and money for Ukraine. But then, fine, nothing's coming to the floor unless they can marshal, and they haven't done it yet, unless they can marshal 218 signatures on what they call a discharge petition.
Right.
And nothing is coming to the floor, so he can say no and block it. But in those 5 months now, there was Marjorie Taylor Greene was on Tucker, and they were speculating that Johnson's being blackmailed by the deep state. I wouldn't put that past him. And it also may just be that he's learned that playing for Team Swamp is a lot more lucrative than playing for Team America.
I would hope that that's not true, because I think Mike Johnson is authentically Christian and believes in his faith and is guided by his faith. And he has said that I am really acting for an audience of one, and it's not my wife. It's my Lord and Savior. So I'd like to believe that that's not true. But you corrected me on one thing, and you were very right to do so, Greg, about politics is the art of the compromise. You're right. The Democrats do not compromise. They try to get us to compromise, but they do not compromise. That is something that they have learned from Saul Alinsky, and they put it into practice very effectively.
But they're also dealing with Republicans who play that game and are always willing to, is how much of what the Democrats want is they're going to get, and are never willing to actually stand up and fight for what they want and believe. So I'll give that. I mean, the Democrats are evil. They're trying to wreck the country. We talked about the dark spiritual forces at work here. And they're in line with, either the Democrats are in line with them or vice versa. But you at least can concede that the Democrats are dedicated and effective warriors for their cause. And the Republicans are not. At our recent Unite IE conference, my number one takeaway was what Charlie Kirk said. Is the Democrats want to win and destroy the country more than we want to win and save the country?
Alas, I think you're right. And how you can have, why you do not have 218 Republican bomb throwers in Congress is something that's beyond me. When I look around me at my neighbors and the people that I speak to on a regular basis here in Northeast Florida, we all want to go to Congress and throw bombs. You know, we want them. We want our members of Congress to be out there, to be outspoken, to defend the border. And they're not. They're not.
I just wouldn't call it bomb throwing. I would call it standing up for what is right and true. And so if your audience is one, you're standing up for the God that really is the underlying of what this country was created on. So that's what you're standing up for. Truth, rightness, righteousness, and justice, and the country. And what we want is Republicans to do it intelligently, but courageously, and fight for those things you say that you really believe in. That's all the time we have this week. We could go on for another hour if we had a couple more sponsors who were willing to pay for it. But unfortunately, at this point, we do not. Thank you, Ken, for being on the show. And thank you everything that you are doing for the cause. And I'm sure we will have you back. And as always, tune in next week for another exciting edition of Unite IE Radio.
AM 590, The Answer.